أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am Salatu Sule and I welcome you to the second episode of the series The Spirit of Marriage. Today we'll be talking about the foundation of marriage, connecting to the Quran. With me is my husband, my darling, my halal boyfriend, though he said I shouldn't say it, but they have said it. Nuruddin Limu.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, we'll be looking at a couple of verses in the Quran, and we start with the exhortation that Allah does to all of us as human beings, to have faith and to do what is good. One quality after Allah talks about how He has created us as male and female and divided us into nations and tribes to know one another, He then describes the best among us as those with the greatest taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Know that this is the most important quality, and we will come back to this quality inshallah later on in the series and why it is important to keep nurturing it, to keep building it, because it gives us the shock absorbers to handle not just family and marital problems, but the problems of life as a whole. The Quran describes taqwa as the quality that makes us more sensitive to the do's and don'ts, the guidance, the prescriptions of the most wise, of the most compassionate creator. Allah describes Himself as the one from whom we get the rights that we claim from each other. So this is important, because if the rights that we all have as husbands and wife, the fundamental rights are rights that Allah has established, then the responsibilities for us to fulfill those rights are divine injunctions, and we can't play with them. Of course, again, when it comes to marriage, the Quran describes the objective of marriage as tied
to the strengthening, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّ وَرَحْمَةً, of compassion. And mawadda means love, but rahma, compassion, mercy, empathy with the others, feeling what the others feel, and moving in with concern to help, to be kind. And so we look at the word rahma also as coming from the root word of rahim, the womb, the role that the womb plays to the young fetus, this role of taking care, nurturing, protection, this is all encompassed in the concept of rahma. And again, we will come back to what happens when mawadda cannot survive, when love starts to go, why is rahma very important? The other thing, of course, is as friends on this journey back to Allah, as believers, the Quran describes al-mu'minun and mu'minat, believing men and believing women, as awliya, as protecting friends of each other. This is a very critical quality which we will come to, and why it is even most important in the family that you protect each other. To give a metaphor of this, I think the Quran also very beautifully illustrates this with the vision that hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahunna, that your spouses, your wives, are like garments, they are like your clothing, they are the things you put that cover your nakedness, they give you security, they protect you from the cold, they hide what should be hidden, what should be private, but they also give you a sense of pride. When you wear good clothes, it's because you also want to feel good. Your husband should make you feel good, your wife should make you feel good. And so the Quran describes us as garments of each other. And these teachings help us appreciate, in other words, the concept of taqwa and Allah being where we get our rights, the idea of us being awliya and protecting friends of each other, the idea we get from the Quran about the importance of mawadda, of rahma, also I shouldn't forget sakina, a sense of tranquility, peace of mind, the sense that I'm home, I can relax now, peace of conscience. This is all critical in these verses. And of course, as we mentioned, this idea of the role that garments play in protecting, in giving us security, a safe space, and covering what needs to be covered. So we should remember from this that Allah first in everything. He is the source of our life. He is also the source of our rights. The rights that we claim we have, I have a right to this, I have a right to that, we are speaking about the rights that Allah has given us. Of course, you want to claim more rights, no problem, but they don't have the strength of the divine rights that Allah has given. To recognize that the rights that your companion has, whether that companion is your husband or your wife, that these are recognized by Allah, and we will answer about how we handle and manage these on the Day of Judgment. But that recognition that to Allah we return, back again to the concept of khilafah, that when you come to fulfill the rights of your spouse, if your wife is not fulfilling her rights, she is fulfilling her responsibilities, not meeting your rights, you have to be very careful about saying, I will also not fulfill her rights. Why? Because this is a pact, an agreement between you and Allah. You are not fulfilling her rights, fulfilling your responsibilities because she is doing her own. You are doing it because Allah has placed it upon you. In other words, the reason why you do things or don't do things should be seeking Allah's pleasure. And so the quality that the Quran describes for believers is that they don't do things ideally. They don't do things because they want a reward, they want reciprocation, they want thanks. Not because they want any jaza and wala shukura. That's not, they're not doing it for that. They do it not because they want any of these, but they want to get closer to Allah. And so as we look in marriage, let us not look at it as a purely transactional relationship. I treat you the way you treat me. No, I treat you the way Allah wants me to treat you, and you should treat me the way Allah wants me to treat you. The byproduct of that is that we are happier with each other.
Absolutely. That mutual happiness also ties into another thing, another lesson we get from the verses that my husband just mentioned, which is that all human beings are from one source. We are from a single soul. We don't have any claims of superiority over one another, except by our deeds and nearness to Allah, and it's Allah who rates that. Of course, this would then raise the question for some people that, but the man is the head of the family. But ar-rijal qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. And I think there is no discrepancy between that concept of the man being the head of the home or the man being the qawwam of the woman in that setting and the verses that we mentioned earlier. Because headship of the home is a position of leadership. And from the Islamic perspective, leadership is about responsibility. It's not about dominance or control. Leadership is about learning to manage people with gentleness, with kindness, just the way Allah advised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or pointed out to him that had he been harsh with his companions, his followers, they would have broken away from him. And here we are talking about how do you help a marriage flourish. So when we talk even about the equality between the husband and the wife, the sameness, because they are from the same source, it's very important for us to remember that inasmuch as you say the man is the head of the family, the woman has authority over the children, that position is one more of responsibility, of caring for, custodianship. This is now going back to what we mentioned about being Khalifa on earth. Once we have that, then it actually helps support the marriage. There's a clear difference between the home where if the father, the head of the home, shows up, the children run away, and the home where when he shows up, they go to him. Or at the very least, they stay where they are. They acknowledge he has come home, but they are not looking actively to get away from him. I think sometimes we as husbands or wives, we are not sensitive to how we are actually pushing away our spouses. Now we're talking about marriage, with our attitude, our air of, I am the man, so don't argue with me, don't tell me what to do, I'm the head. Or the woman who feels, because she knows maybe this aspect better than the man, she knows best how to manage the children, she understands the children, she gets them, and she feels the man is clueless, she pushes him away and says, I'll handle it all. She shuts him out. And that actually could affect the marital relationship. Now, talking about that marital relationship, it's about friendship. At the heart of it, it's about friendship and partnership. It's about protecting one another. It's about supporting one another. There is support that's sensible, of course, and there's blind support, where you support everything your spouse does. That's the one people would say, really, you've been bewitched, or you've been tricked, or you are being manipulated. No, there's that support where I know very well where my spouse needs to grow, what my spouse needs to do differently, and I will support them in that journey towards being a better version of themselves. But I will do it in a manner that upholds that friendship, that relationship. And inshallah, in another episode in future, we'll come back to this question of the nature of the relationship between a husband and a wife.
This is very important to recognize that because Allah gives you a position of responsibility, it doesn't mean superiority. Allah gave Jews and faddalahum, He preferred them for a role. It didn't mean they are superior to anybody else. An imam may be the leader in the prayer, but it doesn't mean he has more taqwa than anybody else, that he is a superior human being. So the need to really appreciate that inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that if it is who is the most superior to Allah. If it is to ourselves, everybody can say, oh, I am in this position, I am superior, you are in this, or you have more wealth, or you have more whatever. This is human, trivial, dunya, you know, it ends this. Death is the equalizer. But what happens, we find, is from an Islamic perspective, the person who is most superior, if we're talking of superior, in the eyes of Allah, Allah makes it really clear, it is the person who has taqwa, the person who is holding on to Allah's rope in the best way. So as we come to the end of this first half, we need to remember the objectives of marriage, what we want to achieve, and the kind of relationship between husband and wife, of awliya, of each other, protecting friends of each other, of people who recognize that their rights are rights, that they will respond to Allah regarding how they fulfilled those met those rights and fulfilled their responsibilities, how they became garments of each other. And this is very important, that they are able to protect and give dignity, give pride, give respect to each other, that they are able to make the home a haven, a place of peace for each other. We'll take a quick break, inshallah. When we return, we'll carry on from where we stopped. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening. Kindly share with your family and friends and subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to follow us on our social media handles on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.